Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on the radio. We are on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. We are now in the middle of what I call Health Blast 2015. Have you enjoyed any other shows yet? I hope you have a chance to just go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page and find out more information about each day, as we have a different topic every single day on health and wellness, and also about actually our entire life. We're going to have things like talking about Chinese medicine as we are today. We're going to be talking about vegetarian, how can I be one, how can I change my diet. We'll also be talking about cannabis and shamans and our soul, all these different topics. So really it's about, hey, you know, I'm really looking at something else different for my life, something just to spark my inner energy going, and I'm going to take a listen and see what's going on. Take a few minutes, take an hour, listen to a show, and please do share and post. We'd love to hear your comments. So today, my guest is Dr. Yang. He is an integrative psychiatry. He is a fifth-generation expert in Chinese medicine and founder and medical director of Tao Integrative. And we're going to be talking about what Chinese medicine is and how it can help you. Some people say, I don't really even know what that is, or I heard about that stuff, but my doctor says I need to shy away from that, or, oh, I saw all the warnings out there, you know, hey, that's not such so good to be dabbling in. I need to do what I'm told, when I'm told, and that's the way I'm going to take care of my health. But, you know, I'm still sick. I don't really know what to do. So today we're going to be talking about all of these different topics, how your life and your health is really in your hands, and how you can seek out some other therapies or other answers. So, Dr. Yang, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Dr. Yang, don't you think we've had all of these shows, these words before? People don't even know what Chinese medicine is, right?
Yes, and actually I was advised not to use that as much because people don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yes. And it is confusing because some people think, oh, Chinese medicine is just medicine practiced in China, or
right.
Chinese medicine means something created by Chinese.
Mm-hmm. And that's so interesting, yet we turn around and we say folklore medicine, or we turn around and we say herbalism or homeopathic medicine, or, you know, and then now we've gotten into, is it allopathic or alternative? All of these names and labels, and really, I think they're all on, you know, a spectrum, and if you're sick and you're not well, you just need to find it for yourself, what works best for yourself. And be able to have all of that smorgasbord to be able to choose from, rather than saying there is the one and the only and the almighty, because you really might need support from a different few different venues, right?
Absolutely. And because if we really look at what kind of medicine are practiced in this country, you know, then we say conventional mm-hmm. medicine or mainstream medicine. But what they are is, you know, I began to use a new terminology to describe them. I think they should be called pharmaceutical medicine and surgical medicine.
Yes.
And,
you know, true.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I found, too, is that when we turn around and we say, that, you know, everybody say now it's now they've got the taglines of holistic and natural. You know, everybody just loves a tagline. And then you get underneath it. But really, it's up to us to figure out what isn't working right in our body and how we can help ourselves. And, you know, if we're really sick, we go to the ER. Okay, you know, that's granted what we need to do. We need to get a drug. We need to have surgery. But if it's other than that, our own innate healing is where all of these other therapies come along, don't you believe?
Oh, absolutely, because when you get sick, and you may need a medication, but medication doesn't solve why you got sick, how we prevent mm-hmm. you from getting sick again. The same thing with the surgery. Yes, you have cancer, and it's still great. We still have opportunity to cut it off, but the surgery itself does not address why you got cancer in the first place, how we prevent a new cancer from coming back. And therefore, it definitely need other medical modalities to address those issues.
My thought, and we've said it before so many times on the show, is that you think of it as your car. So in your car, if we think about your heart as like the engine of the car, and some of these hoses and spark plug wires, they're kind of like getting all corroded and they're not working great, and your radiator's kind of leaking out a little bit and it's not doing so good either. And then we look at, you know, maybe your tires are really shot and they're just banging the dickens out of your car. So I really think of that as, you know, not good shocks on your tires. I think of that as your joints. And I turn around and I look at the spark plugs and the wires and I think of those as your blood vessels. And I turn around and think of the radiator leaking and stuff almost as your kidney function or your bladder function, you know, and your breathing function. And if you think of it that way, you say all of those things, but hey, I can still drive down the road at 60 miles an hour. Eventually that car is going to hit the wall. Eventually that car is going to croak. And you're going to say, well, I just need a new engine. You throw another engine in there, and you're going to run it again until it croaks. But you really haven't addressed all those other pieces around the car. So really, you know, when we have these grave diseases and end up with surgeries and all these medications, that's when we hit the wall. But and you turn around and, you know, everybody is saying, oh, it's great. You know, we're going to be able to replace limbs soon. We're going to be able to replace organs. No problem. Throw some stem cells in there. But they really haven't addressed the rest of the vehicle. They really haven't looked at how the blood vessels could be better or how you could stop up some of those holes that are in the radiator or how you could figure out how your lungs could breathe in more oxygen. All of these things are vital to your car, but you can't turn around and see them in your own body. And it's just really, that is the correlation with Chinese medicine. When we think of, you know, taking an herb to be able to open up your blood vessels, we think of another herb to be able to bring more nutrition into your lungs, or we think of acupuncture to open up some of the meridians in our body, some of our energies that are blocked that might be causing us some superficial pain. We don't even think about those things, yet those are the vital things that will keep us going.
Yes, I like your analogy about cars because I use that too in at least a few occasions when I try to explain to people how we take care of our health. For example, I always say, well, people, you know, you think you have a health care insurance, which I think that's wrong. You don't have it. You have insurance. It's like disease care insurance, the crisis intervention insurance. And they're just like auto insurance. If you don't crash, they don't pay.
Right.
So that's that's one thing I'm trying to explain to people. And
yeah.
Another thing is the car is like, you know, you have this engine, you have the electricity. That's the key for a car to run. And that's similar to the energy and the chi we're talking about in the human body. And also you need the gas, you need the oil, you need the water, fluid. And which is like a Chinese medicine called the yin essence, blood, fluid, that yin energy that you need. So there's a yin and a yang, you know, the electricity is like yang energy. You need this both to balance and to be sufficient and in order to maintain a good health. And definitely what you see is not the most important. The most important is actually what you don't see in your human body. Just like in nature, what you don't see is the air, but the air is the most important environmental energy and for human to be alive. And the same thing inside our body is the human energy that runs our physical and the mental function. That's what Chinese medicine specializes in. I have a particular insights about it and a particular way of evaluating, diagnosing, and treating them.
You know, when we even talk about the air, what we really talk about is that essence of the universe that keeps our inner spirit going. I mean, we really can't expect, I mean, our heart is an organ. Our heart has to have some message from somewhere or something that keeps it going. And just like our brain, you know, we say, oh, well, my brain is telling me what to do. No, it's not. It's your mind, and your mind is this conceptual other thing. It is not the brain, the organ, you know. your heart is an organ that keeps your body, you know, pumping blood and stuff, but it's not your heart that feels when you feel an emotion or a pain. So really, all of these other energies are all out there, and those are the ones that are highly affected that cause a cause and effect as a result, and it shows up in your physical body. So really, if we're looking at all of these outside energies and these outside examples, really that's where the magic works, and really that's where Chinese medicine excels.
Well, the Chinese medicine has really a particular explanation about the relationship between heart and the brain. For example, the thing heart, of course, is the organ for pumping the blood. It's in charge of all the circulations and the function of the blood vessels. But in Chinese medicine, heart is also a place our soul, our spirit reside.
Right.
So therefore, it is really not just the brain, it is really the heart that we're coming out. We have a soul, we have a mind. And the brain is extraordinary organs in Chinese medicine, very important. But however, its importance absolutely have to depend on the function of the internal organs like heart. In other words, the brain function is depends on its connection with the internal organs. So when we in modern medicine we try to study mental health or neurological condition, we focus on everything above our neck, you know,
mm-hmm.
just focusing on the brain. Actually, we're not
right.
going to get anywhere because it is the connection and interaction of the brain and the rest of the body that determine our physical and mental function. And again, it is amazing that we understand the heart and the brain in a totally different level, different way in Chinese medicine.
You know, and I think it's so vitally important to be able to integrate this all into all different types of medicine. I mean, when you go to a cardiologist or cardiac surgeon now, they say, here's the test. They come in, you say your symptoms, they give you a test, they give you a diagnosis, then you have a treatment, and then you're back out the door again. And it's so interesting. I had worked with a heart surgeon, and I think it was, oh goodness, probably in the early 90s. And we would do bypass surgery after bypass surgery and valves every single day, 4, 5, 6 of them a day. And you would look at it at the end of the day when the patient would come back in for their end visit, and you know, patient would say, okay, now what do I do now? And they're like, I did my work, I fixed your problem, you go figure that out with your doctor, and they walk out of the room. You know? But if you look at a heart surgeon, their lifestyle, most of them, they're jogging around the lake on their lunch hour, or they're eating this great food that's all organic and that healthy food, and they make sure they sleep and they make sure that they're not overworked, but yet they don't bring that correlation to say that they should tell their patients that, or they don't have that correlation that, you know, they're taking care of themselves and how they might want to share that with their clients. They don't do that anymore, and I think that's really where integrative work now is really picking up and saying, go to them, get what you need fixed, and then come back, and then we'll figure out how you got there and how you cannot get there again.
Well, Dr. Jeanette, you must have worked with a very special group of cardiac surgeons, because as far as I know, most of the surgeons do not live a healthy lifestyle themselves either.
Right. Yeah, because they don't.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, because it's what they do, because that's what they do very well, so they only see a specific stage of the disease and what they can contribute. So therefore,
right.
they think they have saved the patient's life, and that's it. So yes, indeed, they're not addressing, you know, how we prevent them from coming back again or need another surgery and so on and so forth. But they don't have to be a nutritionist or acupuncturist
Correct.
Or herbalist to do that. As long as they realize that's necessary to refer them, you know, to a life coach, to a physical therapist, to a nutritionist, acupuncturist, and so on and so forth, to address those issues. They can practice integrative medicine themselves.
Yeah, I think it's so important that they realize that there is this other piece that they have to look at. And I think that's what makes us all so specialized as practitioners. I mean, I'm a naturopathic physician myself, and when I have people come to me, they're like, the doctor didn't fix me. And I'm like, the doctor did fix you. He did what his expertise that you asked him to do. Now we have to figure out how to fix the rest of you or how you need to look at yourself. And that's so vitally important to be able to keep us going day to day, don't you believe?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think it is, you know, again, we're going back to the your car analogy. It is your job to keep your car clean, you know, tune up it and changing the oil and fill the tank. You know, you can't expect an auto insurance company will come to do that for you or anybody else will do that for you. Same thing with our health. It is our own responsibility to invest our time, our money in our own health. And again, as I said, if you pay money to your insurance, then you lose money. But when they begin to pay for you, you have lost your health, you know. So you have to really take the control back to yourself about your own health.
Let's talk about types of therapies that are used in Chinese medicine. I know for myself, I was trained in acupuncture, the four elements, about eating, you know, warm and cold foods. And also, I mean, the biggest thing that glares out in my head, sometimes when I see people on the street, they'll say, oh, I have a pain, and they're bending forward, and they're like curled forward. And we always say, you know, the yang is always the back of our body, and the yin is the front. And then you say, oh, the yang is overtaking, you know, and they're folding in. So all of these little tiny different clues, I mean, we even have Dr. Chi coming up next week, and he'll be talking about even, you know, the nails and the tongue. So all of these things that we don't even pay attention to is really a great key about our health and our condition.
Well, yes, I think because the challenge is people are not paying attention because the most important aspects of a health lies in the energetic level. In Chinese medicine, we call qi, and the channels that travels, we call them meridians. It's like blood circulates in the blood vessels. Qi circulates in the, you know, qi channels, so to speak. And because of that, they are, if you can see that level, which Chinese medicine does, and you begin to see we are an open system as a human, living human body, and we are very sensitive and vulnerable to all kinds of energy from inside and from outside, like climate changes, like emotional stress, like food we put in. So everything is really become an energetic stress to our body. And therefore, they create all kinds of problems. When you mention pain, so whenever there's a pain, that means there's energetic blockage in that area. So the reason the acupuncture can relieve the pain so effectively is by reopening all the blockage and make the energy to move again. That's why, if that is the reason, no matter what you do surgically or structurally or biochemically, if you don't open the energy channels, the pain is not going away. You can numb yourself not to feel it, but you're not going to get rid of it. And, of course, you say, I can cut them off. Say, I have a gallbladder pain. I'm just take away my gallbladder. Yes, that's fine. You don't have gallbladder pain anymore. But you're going to have the pain along the gallbladder energy channels, which mimic sciatics and mimic stomach pain and so on and so forth, even migraines. So anyway, so when we see things at the energetic level, which Chinese medicine specializes in it, and you're going to see very, very different picture of why you should take care of yourself the way we want you to, like, you know, how you sleep, how you eat, and how you dress, and how you, living the lifestyle and how you manage your stress and emotions.
You know, and that even correlates to the same idea when people live in the north and it really doesn't feel well for their body and they're very ill and they have pain in their joints. Then you see people in the south and you say, oh my goodness, you know, they're just running around and they're doing all these things. I wish I could do that. And it's, you know, sometimes you just have to say what environment are they in and, you know, what is actually best for them. You know, you even look at it, too, with foods. You know, we say we buy things in season. We don't buy dead foods. We don't eat dead foods. Well, if you turned around and you put, we would think of this in our chemistry classes or in our physics classes or biochemistry or whatever. If you put energy into a system that is, we would say, like good food into a body, it will accept that energy and become part of it, and it will incorporate, take what it needs and let go of the rest. But if you turn around and you put something that's already dead into it, it just sits there. It does nothing. And then it has to be forced to be eliminated through somehow, some way. That's the same concept as people who eat really crappy diets, and they turn around and they've got all of these pains everywhere in their body and they just can't seem to correlate it, but they just can't seem to figure out what it did either. Well, you didn't give the energy into the system. You didn't provide it with the nutrition that it needed to sustain itself, the system. And furthermore, you overload it with all this toxic stuff, which was just dead food, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Chinese medicine is all about the energy. So when it comes to the food, for example, it's not what nutritional, you know, what vitamin this food has or what mineral it has. It is about what kind of energy this food brings to the body. Are they drying the system up? Are they create the dampness and in the body? Are they going to block the energy flows? Are they too cold? Are they too hot? And those are the important property of food based on individual energetic situation. And also the color of the food, the different color of food actually has an energetic affinity to different part of the organ system. Like black color food goes to the kidney bladder, the yellow color food goes to the spleen stomach, and the red color food goes to heart and small intestine, the white ones goes to the lung, the large intestine, and so on and so forth, and green oil is going to the liver and gallbladder. So the different the color, actually, they're energetically nurturing different part of the organ system. And definitely you want to eat according to the seasons, because every season the energy that actually specifically strong, important to certain organ system, like in the spring it's about your liver, gallbladder. In the summer it's about your heart and your small intestines. In the later summer it's about your spleen and stomach. In the fall it's about your lung and the large intestine. In the winter is about kidney and bladder. So therefore, in these different seasons, you want to eat a different kind of food to nurture that particular organ specifically. And of course, absolutely, you're right, Dr. Jeanette, is about eating the seasonal food in the local area, because that carry the energy of that local area, which is most, you know, useful, nurturing to the people who live in that area energetically. So, and I think if we think energetically, we'll become much more mindful about what we eat and how we eat and when we eat, actually.
You know, I always think about the paradigm of thought that what ails you, you will find outside your door what will help you. And I always remembered that because I lived in Pennsylvania, and it was terrible, you know, around the fall time when we had so much allergies. But yet you look outside, and what was it? The nettles bushes were everywhere. So nettles is for allergies. We look at Arizona, when I lived there, there was prickly pear everywhere and paddle cactus. And a lot of the people were having diabetes because they weren't eating correctly. So what is for diabetes is prickly pear and cactus, you know. And then you look at, you know, just different areas and you find different things. In Florida, kudzu is very popular. It grows everywhere. And that's so important, too, is you look at the food. So that is definitely about keeping the signature of what is local to you, which is also your medicine.
Yes. And talking about the allergy, you know, it is really a complicated issue. But most of the time, we begin to blame the outside. Okay, well, this is this, that's why I'm sick. This is that, why I'm allergic to. I have to eliminate this, eliminate that. It is good that you're able to avoid them or eliminate them if you know what they are. But however, it only works temporarily. It's still not addressing why you are allergic to them. And very often you begin to be allergic to things is because your internal system is out of balance. And for example, when you have a allergic kind of rhinitis or bronchitis or cough and all that, running nose, and that means your energy in your lung, the large intestine, are not doing well, are deficient, for example. And so by in addition to avoiding those things, you also need to address the internal causes, which is energetic problems in your body.
And times we also talk about phlegm and dampness. We talk about heat. We talk about cold. And could you share a little bit of your thoughts about that? So that people may say, I've heard those words before, but I don't know what that really means.
Okay. Well, let's start with the easy one, the cold. You know, cold is energy. You know, in the winter time, it's cold. And the inside our body, we also have a cold energy. And the cold energy is important because otherwise our body will be on fire. So we have this cooling energy mostly coming from our kidney, that cooling balance, the heat, the hot energy coming from the heart. So we are comfortable. We have a normal kind of balance. But if you're running out of water energy or cooling energy, and you begin to have relatively hyperactive hot energy, one of the common clinical example is that when women hit menopause, that their kidney energy drops significantly. And then their heat energy kind of become active, so they have hot flashes and night sweats. So that's one of the examples. And, of course, the cold energy could also come from the food. You know, if you look at an American restaurant, and every time that you want to sit down, they bring you a glass of ice-cold water.
Right.
I mean, I still couldn't get over it, even I've been in this country for almost 20 years. I said, why? You know, and, you know, this cold energy constricts your not only your blood vessels, but also your energy channels. And when you eat, you need them to be dilated. You need them to open in order to provide the energy in the blood so the body can, you know, intestine, stomach can digest the food. Now you're pouring this ice-cold water into it.
Yes,
almost like
very
you're
much.
Trying to cook something that you're pouring cold water on the fire. So it doesn't make sense, okay? So, and also, that is kind of coldness we're talking about. People eating ice cream in the winter, you know, people expose their legs in the winter, and the top of the interesting, the cover, there are so many covers on the top, but they're bare legs, you know?
Yeah.
So when I was in Minnesota, I would say, how could these people not getting arthritis or knee problems, you know, if they do that? So that's kind of coldness we're talking about. Also, as we age, a lot of people say, oh, I'm so cold, I have to wear socks to sleep. The cold really kind of, sometimes even no matter how much they covers, they still feel cold inside. What that means the internal yang energy is getting so deficient, you know. And so that's why they feel so cold. And so this is the cold energy we're talking about. On the other hand, you know, we're talking about the dampness. It's another interesting thing. Well, something is visible. You know, of course, when people have a pneumonia, okay, they cough out a lot of phlegms. So those phlegms is really kind of phlegm Chinese medicine talk about. Another thing is the reason they have so many phlegms are very often because their digestive system is not functioning well. They don't metabolize the food they eat. So therefore, the undigested, unmetabolized food is become a phlegm. And this phlegm, you don't necessarily see them. They can be translated or manifest as fat, for example, as swollen joints, as watery tensions, you know, as a indigestions, as a diarrhea. So that manifests themselves in those ways. So those are dampness we're talking about. And the heat, of course, there's two kind of heat. One kind of heat is really a heat caused by deficient cold energy, as I was mentioning about those night sweats, hot flashes. Well, there's another excessive type of heat. Of course, when people have infections, you know, they have high fevers, so that's excessive kind of heat. So if you look at the body from energetic perspective, almost every clinical symptoms is really a symptoms or disorder of energy. You know, some people cannot move too stiff. Some people move too much uncontrollably or involuntarily. You see that, all kind of clinic symptoms. Some people too hot, some people too cold, some people too dry, some people too damp. So you see that in all kinds of clinical symptoms. So the Chinese medicine really kind of bypass those detailed biochemical process. They're trying to look at what is the energetic outcome, because the energetic outcome really is what matters to us, you know, as a living human being. So that is the focus of it. I hope I didn't confuse all you.
No, it was wonderful. You know, and also we think about kidney chi, so let's talk about that for a minute, because in its correlation with potentially the hormone system, a lot of men in older age, 50s and 60s, start with that low back pain, start with prostate issues, and as you suggested also, you know, women with menopause, you know, that kidney system, that kidney chi, it's got to be the... you know, how does that play in together?
It's interesting. Yesterday I had a patient who come to me and said, I talked to my primary care doctor. I told him that you said my kidney was blocked. My doctor wants to ask you, is a gross blockage or is a biochemical blockage? I said, okay, well, first of all, we have to clarify to our audience, you know, when we say kidney, yes. In Chinese medicine, we do mean the kidney as an organ. Okay, that's the same. So it should include the function of all modern medicine recognized. However, we also mean the kidney as an energetic center. Okay, and through its energetic partner, the bladder, and through its incredibly complicated network, energetic channels, connecting with every other part of the body, like bones, like brain, like your sexual organs, so on and so forth. So it has an incredible important function. So kidney is really the energy and essence that determine our development. So kids, if they don't have a good kidney energy or essence, they will have trouble with mental development, your learning disabilities, and so on and so forth, even physical development. Then they determine our health of brain and the bones. And that's why when we run out of it, we have osteoporosis, we have problems with our memory and the concentrations. And it is, of course, it is critical for reproduction and sexual functions. So therefore, we have trouble with that. That's one more thing that modern medicine yet to recognize. Kidney energy is also energy control, the opening and closing of the bladder and the bowels. So people begin to have all kind of incontinence once their kidney energy drops. Okay. So the kidney energy essence is critical for our aging. If we say how do we stop aging, how we slow down aging, the way you slow down aging is by protecting, preserving your kidney essence and energy. So So that is what we really mean. But problem is that the biggest challenge is kidney energy is very hard to supplement. It's mostly we inherited from our parents. We call them prenatal energy. But if we take care of ourselves by eating healthy and nurturing our kidney and protect the kidney, not abuse it, not abuse its function, and we might age slower, you know. But gradually as we deplete our kidney energy, that's when we begin to age because, for example, your hair is nurtured by the kidney energy. So we turn gray. Your hearing is supported by kidney energy, so we have trouble hearing. And your brain cognitive function is supported by kidney. That's why we begin to become forgetful and have a memory loss and all that. And our bones, it depends on the kidney, so we have osteoporosis or all kind of, you mentioned lower back pain. Why lower back pain in the middle-aged man? You know, the lower back is where big bone is and carry a lot of weight and move a lot. It's also a place where kidney reside, okay? So therefore, yes, lower back pain is the number one disabling condition for it. Middle-aged men. However, there's absolutely no correlation between lower back pain this age group and what they see on MRI or X-ray.
Right.
Because what is causing their pain is not what they see on the bones, on the joints. It's energetically deficient, energetically blocked. So that's where they have all this lower back pain. So again, you know, finally, the mainstream medicine recognized that acupuncture should be and is very effective in treating lower back pain and many other pain conditions.
You know, what I think is so interesting, and sometimes it just, you want to stand there and just bang your head on the wall. You know, when people go to the doctor and they say, I have pain here, right? And the doctor will take all of his tests and he'll come back and he'll say, I don't see anything. And they'll say, but I still have pain here. It's sort of like, are you supposed to find pain? In other words, like, you want to read an X-ray and the word pain is going to be there in a big arrow, right? You know? And, I mean, while there's many dysfunctions in our body that cause that pain, but still that pain is still, as we say, it is another part of our, it is our energy. It is our, it's not always our joints that are twisted. It's not always our muscles that are a little outstretched. Sometimes it's just the pain is just that extra part of us, just like your heart with your emotions or your brain, as we call it, with our thoughts. You know, pain is the same thing. I think a lot of times when we look at modern medicine and we say, you know, we're doing a good job of finding answers to this, that, or the other. Let's say I got a pain in my chest, take an X-ray of your heart. Oh, it looks like that one's partially blocked. Like, let's fix it. 2 weeks later, the person says, I still have pain again. Well, of course you did, because it wasn't the partially blocked thing. It was just you have pain, and that's that energy factor, right?
Yes, and this is really bring us to, you know, really what is integrated medicine is. Integrated medicine, in my opinion, really is that we recognize human being exists at least at four levels. We have our structure, we have a biochemistry, and we have our bioenergy. And if we want to go further, we have our souls. So that's all these four levels exist in the human body when they're alive. So when we're trying to treat anything, let's say take chest pain, you look at it, there's nothing wrong on the X-ray, on the MI, on the CAT scan, well, this person has a chest pain. Okay, we run the biochemistry, and we didn't see any heart attack or anything, nothing wrong. So it's not, you know, not heart attack or not a heart disease or anything, but this person still have a chest pain. So we call them a typical chest pain or long cardiac chest pain. So what is really wrong with this person? Well, yes, does she have a heart issues? I think she does. But except this issue is still at energetic level, which is still invisible to our modern technology or imaging system. So therefore, we use acupuncture to treat them, and they get better. And then we discuss what's causing it. Very often is a stress. Mm-hmm. It's emotional distress causing this blocked energy flows. And if you leave them unattended, untreated, they will gradually develop into a structural problem, into a biochemical problems. And then that's going to be too late to treat. So we are at Jefferson, we are doing a pilot study to using acupuncture to treat people with non-cardiac and, you know, chest pain. And we have a very interesting results in the cases like that.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting because I had another client and we spoke, and she was in her 30s and 40s, had a very traumatic family event. And then she kind of just ran away from it, didn't take care of it, didn't do anything about it, just ran away from it. And then in her 40s and 50s, she started having pain, so she started on medications, prescriptions, and it would be four or five. She'd go to different doctors, six or seven more, you know, the whole deal. Then in her 50s, it was time to put in a pain implant, a pain block, in an actual blockage machine inside of her body, you know, that she would get changed out every 2 to 3 years that actually blocked her pain sensors. And then when that didn't work anymore, then this person went on to have Parkinson's. Well, of course, if we look at it and sit down and close our eyes, I mean, you could walk your way back there and say, what is she holding back so hard that has her body just reeking in pain and just shaking and violently? What is that thing inside of her that is trying so hard to be heard, to be spoken, to be felt, to be recognized? What part of her energy is trying so vitally hard? Because really, Parkinson's is a shaking disease, you know, and you look at it, you see Parkinson's, they're shaking. So what is she holding back so hard? And that's causing her so much pain in her entire being, her neurological system, her physical system, her heart system, everything. And when you just address that, sometimes that's the one thing that will just kick these people to say, you know, I'm going to hit the wall, I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to say, and I'm just going to let out, what is it? And then you go from there, and you'll be able to address, and then sort of like, that's like putting the engine back in your car, and then we're going to address all the other cleanup. And that's when you have true miracle healing, is what I would call it.
Yeah, I think you'll bring up a very important concept, which I call, you know, every, you know, clinical symptoms, it doesn't matter if it's mentally or emotionally or physically, they are the messengers. They're your friends.
Right.
They're trying to tell you something's not right and you got to fix it. And therefore, we should listen to them and see what was the message they're trying to tell us and fix, get the message, take care of it. The messenger will naturally go away.
Right.
But most of the time, we don't do that. We're either trying to ignore it, dismiss it, and or we're trying to silence them with just medication. We medicate them so we don't feel them anymore, or we don't hear them. Or even worse, sometimes we say, okay, well, if that's not going away, of course they're not going away because you're not listening. You're not getting the message. You're not taking care of them, so they're not going away. Then we say, okay, well, if we can cure them, we'll kill them. We'll kill the messenger. We surgically remove them. You know, most commonly we do surgery with uterus. We can remove them. And gallbladder is another common victim. We just remove them. I mean, you know, I always joke about people with migraines. I said, well, did you have problem with your uterus? Oh, I don't have a problem anymore because they did a hysterectomy on it. I said, well, you still have a migraine because they cannot cut your head.
that's true.
And then if you don't listen to it and you don't take care of it, then it will keep coming back louder and louder and louder. That's what you're describing in that particular case.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Parkinson's disease, the tremor, what is tremor? Tremor is movement. What drives the movement energetic is the wind, okay? And which organ controls balance the wind? It's the liver, gallbladder. So therefore, the part of the brain that connects with the liver gallbladder is got out of into trouble. So therefore, they must have given her a lot of message before that come up, you know, and get into that level. So normally when you get to that level, it's very hard to reverse it, you know, but it's still never too late to treat, you know. And so I think that's a great example of people should really embrace this, you know, what they're experiencing, not just trying to silence them or kill them with medication and surgery.
You know, and it's so interesting because right there, that just by asking those questions, what is really, you know, what are you holding back so hard that you're willing to risk your life for? That question right then and there, if you ever just ask that of people, they look at you like, you didn't fix me. This guy's crazy. I don't know what they're doing. You know, why are you asking me that question? You know, how dare you get into my head? You know, that kind of idea. When really that's what's really addressing their inner soul and spirit. And, you know, without your soul and spirit, we, you and I both know there is no being. I mean, that's just the way it is. So to be able to have that up front, a lot of people are afraid of that up front question that really brings them into this world.
Yes, and I think the, you know, if you think hard, if you think logically, you know, the spirituality part, you know, is really not, has nothing to do with religion or anything. It's really our understanding and answer to big questions. So what is the meaning and purpose of life? How we relate to the universe and the people around us, whether that's high powers, if there is one, what's my relationship with the high powers, and what all this disease, aging, tribulation, hardship, death means, and is there past lives, afterlives, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And whatever your answer is, define your spirituality. Because they are important, because if you answer them differently, you're going to perceive what's happening in your life differently. And when you perceive things differently, you're going to feel emotionally differently. It's going to affect you differently emotionally. Therefore, it's going to affect you biochemically differently. And therefore, eventually, it affects your behavior too. And then all of them together affect you physically, biologically. So they're all very, very much related. And you have to, you know, anyone who practices integrated medicine, they have to be sensitive to the connection of all these four levels.
Right. You know, I always say to people, they'll say, sometimes I get you, sometimes I don't. So I always bring it right down to the basic thing. And I'll say, let's say your husband's driving the car. You're riding in the front seat. He drives you crazy because sometimes he slams on the brakes or he gets too close to the other car, or sometimes he drifts out of his lane and you're worried you're going to get hit, or maybe you might not make it through that red light or whatever it might be. Try an example the next time, and was when you get in the car, you lay your seat all the way back, you close your eyes, and you just listen to the music on the radio. And you notice, did you have a change in your body? And the answer would be yes. I didn't worry about it. I didn't think about it. How many times did you yell? Sometimes it would have been 10. This time you didn't yell, but maybe once. So there is a way you can change the way you perceive things and the way you see things, and it's just by changing something in the way you're doing things. So let's say if you're saying, I absolutely love that fried food, you know, oh, I know it gives me acid indigestion, and then the next day I have diarrhea. Well, you know, change it. You know, we can change anything, and we have the ability. We're humans. We have a mind. We have a concept. We can see. We can rationalize. We are able to make those changes. If you have pain, you know, the doctor's handing you a prescription, you know, don't put your hand on it until you say, is this going to take away my pain? It'll never come back. Am I going to take this for the rest of my life or what? And, you know, get some of these answers and start to pay more attention to the way you yourself are doing things. And I really think that that's very important, don't you think?
Yes, I do. I think it is very important that we consciously, cognitively clear that what we want to do, what we should do. However, the challenge is, even we know what is right, what is wrong, we find ourselves still doing wrong things, still not in control of our behavior. So it brought down to another question, why? Why are you doing things that self-harming? Why are you doing things sabotaging your own goals and all that? So those questions will lead us to better and even deeper understanding what we have carried all the year from a very young age and what's really in our heart, what's really in our gut. Because, you know, to make any behavioral changes, you have to have your head, your heart, your gut on the same page. Otherwise, nothing going to happen. And so, therefore, people really need to find a way to bring themselves, bring unconscious into consciousness, to bring the congruency among their head, their heart, their gut. Basically means your cognitive brain, your emotional brain, and your physical brain, you know, has to be on the same page. And that requires sometimes a, you know, specific treatment and therapy. And one I used very effectively is called neuro-emotional technique, and which was created by Dr. Scott. So that really is based on the Chinese medicine mind-body connection and also biofeedback, and that's really helped us to do that. So I'm just saying is, yes, it's very important to be clear, to know that you can change, you're able to change, but you have to find out what emotional and physical blockage you're having that change is not happening.
And I think it's all about coordinated therapies. When you're stuck, you can look at, you know, a lot of those questions and answers that you need to know. You can also look at acupuncture and opening up the channels. You can also look at, you know, opening up the emunctories. Do you sweat? Are you urinating? Are you having a bowel movement? Are you eating correctly? You can also look at, you know, what you're exposed to day to day, your internal and your external forces. Those are all the parts of the story. It's not just a matter of, hey, I'm just hitting the wall today, give me a drug, I'm out of here. You know, we spend so much time on taking care of our homes and making sure our kids do this, that, and the other. And, you know, we've got 4 cars and 2 houses and how much money and blah, 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 right? When really, yes, if we don't address all of these other issues, that is really the core of, is it really where you're going to get, where you're going to be able to take care of yourself? And all of those excesses will definitely deplete your kidney chi again. So really, we're right around full circle.
Right. Yes. And, well, there is so much more to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Dr. Yang, could you share with our listeners your website? That would be wonderful.
Yes, my website is Tao Integrative Medicine, T-A-O, integrativemedicine.com. And we have a clinic in Manhattan, New York, and Philadelphia, Morton, New Jersey, and Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And for the neuro-emotional technique, there's netmindbody.com.
Oh, good. Okay, great. And, you know, Dr. Yang, it was a pleasure to have you with us because, you know, I think a lot of people have questions, and I really think that, you know, it's about the year of stepping out and figuring something out because, hey, things haven't been working so well for a lot of people the past several decades, so now it's time to maybe pay attention, right?
Yes, and also I'm having a book coming up in January 2016 called The Facing East. It's talking about Chinese medicine wisdom for beauty, health, and happiness. And I'm writing it with a stylist icon, Loma Kamali.
Huh. So, Dr. Yang, you have to come back on and do the show when your book comes out.
Absolutely, I will.
So don't forget, okay?
Okay, I won't.
We'll look forward to having you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So if you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Yang, his website link is directly on the bottom of today's show page, and you can click on there and go directly to that page. You know, really do find out about Chinese medicine. There is a ton of information in books, ancient records. There is tons of stuff on the internet. Don't be afraid of it. And if you get really stuck, send Dr. Yang, for Chinese medicine. You can send it right to his company is Tao Integrative to the website. You could send them a little note there and ask, you know, can you have more information? Can you have an appointment or how about a consultation? I'm sure he will be more than happy to see you. If you're super stuck, we will be talking about Chinese medicine as part of the plan on Women Over the Age of 50 group. It is a private membership group. It is on my website, drjeanettegallagher.com. So thank you so much for joining us today. Please do try and find out what might be just not in balance in your body. You know, if you come out of somewhere and then you say, something's just not right, chances are pretty good something's not right. And chances are pretty good that if you're feeling that, you can turn it around. So you just need to find a way to be able to turn that around. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a great day.